We're going to start verse number 6. The Bible says, "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice, and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this time that we can be here. Pray, Lord, that you would just give me the clarity of speech, clarity of thought. Help this message to mean something. Help, Lord, I want you to preach it. And Lord, I pray that you would just get me out of the way. Wash me in the blood and just clear my mind of just my daily activities and just the wicked things of the world, Lord, and that creep in. And to pray, Lord, that you would just be at this message, get the glory and the honor out of it. And we ask it in your name. Amen. So here so here the Jews have just come out of captivity, and the temple is getting rebuilt. And the Lord has chosen Zerubbabel to start rebuilding the temple. And back in Haggai Haggai chapter 1, in verse number 7, the Lord has said, "Consider your ways. So go up into the mountain and bring wood and build." So the Lord is commanding that they rebuild the temple. And in verse number 12, then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Joshua the son of Jozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. And in verse number 14, and the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. So Zerubbabel has been working on this temple, and by the time we get over to Zechariah chapter 4, it looks like maybe the project kind of stalled out a little bit. And the Lord is rebuking some of the people here that are kind of just focused on maybe just the foundation is there. And he asked the question, who hath despised the day of small things? And so tonight I want to focus on that topic of small things. You know, so often it's easy for us to overlook small things. God works, we're always looking for God to work in mighty and mysterious ways. And we tend to look for that, and we miss the small things God's doing to really get the joy out of it, or to see him working. And, you know, the Lord really cares about small things. You kind of look through the Bible, and there's a lot of things that are in small detail that the Lord portrays to us. And in this instance, he made mention of the foundation. So a foundation is, you know, let's look at the characteristics of a foundation. Well, it's not a pretty sight. Just think of it from a building aspect. You know, you go to build a house. Here's an example of why it's easy to look at something big. You go to build a house, and your only focus is on the end product. which is rightfully so. You're excited. You know, you want to see, you've got all the plans drawn out, and the kitchen's going to be in a certain way. You got the fridge over here next to the stove. No, maybe I don't want it there. I want it over here. And then you drive by your house that they just dug the hole, and then all you see is a concrete slab. Just not even the walls yet, but just the footing. I'm like, man. Then you drive by it a couple days later, still like that. You're like, what's going on? And with this special project that I'm doing at work right now, I'm going around and I'm locating underground utilities for the telephone company, and I'm in a lot of new developments. And I'm going by the same houses day after day. And that foundation aspect is not a fast time. It's fast when they get the form put up. Most of them are poured foundations. But then it just sits there. And you're just looking at it, and I'm like, man, that just really doesn't look like it's going to be what the plans call for. But it takes time. That's important because you got to have, like David mentioned on Sunday, you got to have the right amount of rebar. You got to have the right concrete. You can't have dead spots, I guess, or hollow spots. Someone was telling me the other day that in a garage floor, if you drag a chain across it, you'll hear a hollow spot. It'll change tone. Well, that's going to crack or it's going to peel up. And the concrete has to be evenly dispersed. So, and then it has to cure. And I think a regular driveway it takes a long time for just that to cure. It might cure on the outside, but to cure completely through, it takes a long time. I thought I heard a statistic at the Hoover Dam. It took years for it to completely cure all the way into the center. Maybe it still isn't. I don't know. So, a foundation that's not pretty, but it's the strength of a building. It's important. And if this temple is going to be sitting on a foundation, it needs to be strong. It needs to be right where the Lord would have it. It needs to sit for a certain amount of time. It needs to get that strength into it. And I can't help to think about our foundation on what and what we're trying to build our lives upon. And the verse that comes to mind is Proverbs 13, verse 22. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Now, I think of that. And the inheritance, it's not necessarily talking about monetary things there, but it's talking about what type of an inheritance are we going to leave to our children's children. And I kind of put the two and two together as far as parents, you know, as parents, what kind of foundation are we going to leave for our children? Are we going to leave a foundation that is worth building our lives on? Are we going to leave a foundation that is all cracked and broken down? You know, you can do whatever you want with it, but what type of foundation are you going to leave? Are you going to be like the man in Luke 6, verse 48 and 49, that built his house on the rock, or a man that built his house on the sand? It sounds simple. Or foolish, simply foolish, but it is. It's important. Try to build a house. Try to build something on just sand. Sand blows away in the dust, in the wind. Every now and then you see a windstorm and it's all dusty. That ain't gonna hold a house together. And you know, the devil's going to come along and he's going to try to blow our house down. There's a deal about blowing a house down. Isn't there I don't know if it's a song or a, you know what I'm trying to say. He huffed and he puffed and he blew the house down or whatever it is. But You know, as growing up as a young adult, you might obviously you think you know everything, right? What teenager doesn't think he doesn't know everything? Just ask them, they'll tell you. And I was that way. And there's rules, and there's things that was set up because there was a foundation that was being established. And you know, my parents were going along that foundation, and when they start to see a crack in there, they're starting to repair that. Because what happens if you don't repair a crack in a foundation? The next thing you're doing is you're digging up your house because the foundation caved in. Now you've got yourself a big hole. And what do we say when we get in trouble? You dug yourself a big hole. It takes a long time to get out. And there's things that you're not going to understand what your parents are trying to do. They're trying to establish a good foundation. If you don't understand what your parents are trying to do, ask the Lord to show you. You know, your parents need prayer. They don't know. I've never raised a 13-year-old before. I don't know what I'm doing. But the Lord does, and He can help me. And if the young adult or the young child's not praying to ask the Lord to help his parents, then it might be a little harder on you. Lord, give you some. The Lord show you something. Lord, show you something. I'd maybe just reading a proverb a day. There's a lot in Proverbs. You might not understand it all. I still understand it all, but there's a lot of good in there. Pray for your parents. They need it. Because there's a lot of things going against your parents that are trying to pull them away as well. Not just you guys. Not just the young adults. There's a lot that's trying to get at your parents. Sometimes we get the feeling that it's easier just to quit. But it's not. It'd actually be a lot worse if you quit. So a foundation, it's small in comparison to a building, but it's the strength to what keeps the building together. And I was at a house a couple month ago, and I had to mark because they had to dig out the whole front of the house because the foundation was starting to cave in. Well, whatever happened there, it started at probably a long time ago. And it's not strong. It's not staying together. What's our foundation? The Word of God. And that is what we need to build our lives on. And coming and praying and reading and coming to church is getting our foundation. When our foundation starts to get a crack of what we've determined to be our foundation, starts getting a crack in there, we come in, we come into church, we open the Bible, and then the Lord's starting to grind that crack out a little bit, maybe going to fill it with something so that the devil doesn't get in there anymore and work away at that. That's why we need to keep reading and keep praying and keep coming to church. I've asked a few men who've raised a family already, and I've asked them, if they were to do it all over again, what would they do different? Because I want to try to do what's best for my children, and who but better to ask is somebody that's already been through it. So the main thing that they said, aside from some common other things which is irrelevant, is the most important thing is staying in the Bible, staying in church. And that's where our foundation needs to be. That's where we need to be. And so they just confirmed why we need to be in the Bible, because it's a solid foundation. And if we're not in there, if we let that foundation break down, it's our kids, it's going to be just like they built the house on the sand. It's not going to be a pile of rocks. It's going to be gone. So it's important. The Lord cares about small things. Luke 21. If we go turn over to Luke 21, we'll read a couple verses there. Luke 21, verse number 1. And here's the account of the rich man and the widow. And he looked up and saw the rich man casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all, for all these have their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. So in verse, you get the rich man throwing in their, you know, their stuff, and they're probably up there, you know, puffing their chest and saying, look what I got and look what I'm doing. And then you got the poor widow, and she comes along and she gives all that she has. And the Lord is sitting back watching that. And he accounted to her more than he accounted to the rich man. And my thing I take out of that is, how's your heart? When you're given something, where's your heart? What's your motive? When you're trying to do something, are you giving it all you had? Are you doing what's in your heart? I'm not going to talk about tithing or anything, but the Bible kind of lays out a line of the tenth, 10%, kind of what we go, you know, give a rough guideline on. But the thing I would like to say in regards to that is, what are you doing with the 90% that God has given you? There, you know, if I want to give 10% off the line, that's that. But what am I doing with the 90 that God left me? How am I handling that? And that's where the Lord's going to look at that with, and look at how's your heart, and he's going to take account to that. So the widow gave all she had. What might seem small or little to others, it can mean so much more to the Lord. And there's so much to say about that. You know, for a quick example, in Mark chapter 6, verse 41, the Lord took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and fed 5,000 men. I'm sure there are some people sitting back in the background thinking, boy, what's he going to do with this? And the Lord just took something that was small in our eyes, and he just gave it to 5,000 men. I'm sure there was more than just men there. And don't underestimate what God can do. If your heart is right, God's going to do a lot with it. So often we get discouraged with how many tracts we put out, and you know, we put out all these tracts and we don't see the people coming in. Well, if that's our motive, our heart ain't right. Because God ain't getting the glory out of it, right? We're puffing ourselves up. The Lord, you know, we got out all these tracks and look at the people coming in. Well, that's pretty prideful, if you ask me. But the Lord is allowing us folks coming from a different avenue. And don't forget what the Lord can do with a track. You never know. You never know what seed is going to be sown, and look at what he did for us. And more than likely, everybody in here that's saved is because someone shared the gospel with you. I mean, even me. I was fortunate enough to be born into a Christian home, but still, someone had to share the gospel with me. So it all stems back to that. Something small that God has made big. So often we are looking for something big, something grand. We oversee, You know, a lot of times we look to see God's hand in, let's say, like a hurricane. You know, well, man, the thing was massive. It took out trees. It's pretty powerful. Or about a mountain? How about a mountain? The Dietzes were just out west, and I'm sure they saw some mountains. And, you know, you sit back and you look at it and say, wow, that's beautiful. But you're probably not seeing the whole beauty in it, because you're probably not seeing the brook trickling through, or you're not seeing the brook trout swimming in that clear, crisp water. You're not seeing a bear on the mountainside snacking on some berries, or a moose standing in the small water way down there eating some weeds. All you're doing is looking at this big thing. You're like, man, God can really do a lot. Just look at that. But then you sit and you look and you see, didn't he say in the Bible, have you considered the lilies? It's that small. And when you look at the grand scheme of things, and you're looking at a mountain and just the huge mountain range, and then there's a pretty flower sticking up, just sitting up there. I mean, that's beautiful. And if you're not paying attention to that, all them little things, you're going to miss something. We're all familiar with sports, right? I'm an avid archer. I like archery. Once a year, there's a world tournament in Vegas. And the winner of that tournament gets, I think it's a $50,000 prize, plus a bunch of signing. You know, usually it's a professional and a bunch of other stuff that comes with that. You know, we can look at that from the outside and we can say, man, that'd be cool to have. Or that's neat that he did that. But that don't mean nothing to us. You'll see. I watched it this year, and there was a lady that won it in the women's division, and she just broke down in tears because it meant so much to her. Because we don't see the hours of practice. You know how many arrows they shoot every day? Hundreds. Hundreds. One arrow, but it's one arrow that wins it. So it takes a lot of small things to get the one big thing. And when someone labors and they pay attention to the small things, the big thing means so much more. And that's, you know, obviously that's why she broke it down, just because of what it meant to her. You think of Brother Wayne runs, and he runs the marathons, but just to run that marathon, how many days and how many miles is he running to prepare his body for what he has to do in just that time frame? We don't see that. We just see him finishing. Yeah, good job. But we don't see him doing it day after day, running in a circle. I think he's got a spot cut out on his property and he just runs in a circle. You know, I was thinking of more about maybe overlooking the small things and something else that we might be missing out on, and I couldn't help but prayer. You know, you may say God doesn't answer my prayers because you're only looking for something big and some big revelation. And God may be answering your prayers with many small things, and you're not even looking for it. And you think God is not even caring or paying attention, but he sends somebody along the way. Jessica was telling us a story about a situation that came, you know, she was upselling her coffee stand, and a lady came out and started talking, and all of a sudden here it helped get the ball rolling, and so that she knew what she needed to do. And here, you know, God answered a prayer right there. Instead, she was probably like, what am I going to do about this? And I don't know. And all of a sudden, God just set it up that this lady happened? God orchestrates that stuff. And if we're not paying attention, we're going to miss it completely, and we're not going to see the beauty and the joy of God wanting what's best for our lives. You know, start focusing on the small things in your daily life. I've gotten this year, after earlier this year when I heard this a sermon on this topic, and I started paying attention and just going to work. I'm like, where am I going to be today? Because the phone will ring and I could be somewhere. Helping somebody usually is what it is. But I don't know where I'm going. And each day is a different day when I was doing my normal job, because it's a different person, different house. And I don't know what type of conversation I'm going to have or what type of encouragement they could be to me or I could be to them. And along the way through the years, I've been in people's homes that you just get a couple comments made and all of a sudden they're born again Christian and we're talking about Christian things. And you know, that it builds you up. It gives you a boost. And you think you're the only one out there just suffering along, and then all of a sudden God just puts somebody in your way, in your path, and says, hey, you're doing what I'm doing. Keep at it. You know, I today at a job site, there were some Mexicans there, and they were doing landscape or sprinkler system. So I got talking to them a little bit, and I said, where are you guys from? And they said, Mexico. I said, well, where? You know, and Mexico City, another one. And I said, well, I was just in Camargo. Really, Chihuahua? Yeah, Camargo. And in April, I was working with a local missionary, and he goes, good for you. Even somebody... He was like, you know, like almost grateful that I was there. And I did have to tell him that I appreciated their food and their cooking, and he smiled and yes. But just something like that just gives you like, yeah, it's neat. It's neat to see the Lord just set things in order, just put little things along your way. I mean, you could just, if you sit back and just look at, even today, just where you went that you didn't have planned, or just different things, and if you ran into somebody, you don't know what type of an encouragement. Just being an encouragement, just saying hello. Yesterday I was at a house, and family pulls up, and the dad's in his military outfit, and the kid's unloading. I watch, and the kid starts unloading the back of the car, and he's got the big duffel bag, and the dad's carrying his roller bag, and mom's carrying something in. And I said, is a welcome home in order? He's like, do I know you? I said, no, you don't know me. But I went up and I shook his hand and I said, welcome home. And you know, whether or not that made him feel good or not, but that, I mean, just little things like that showing a sort of appreciation, it might just stir a thought. You don't know. So it's just small things. Pay attention to that. How often are you encouraged by something small that someone did for you? Just be a note of thank you. And just when you think you've had enough, all of a sudden you find a note that says thanks. Thanks for what you're doing. Thanks for just being there for me. And just something like that. So tonight I hope you can see a little about how it's important to pay attention to the little things. And did you ever, you know, another thing that I've been thinking about is, do you ever sit back and just think about salvation? You know, it's sometimes I think we get so far focused on more things, and I don't know if bigger and better is the right term or not, but salvation is what we did a long time ago, right? But no, salvation is every day. I think we need to be thinking about it. Maybe it'll mean more to us if we look at the details. Now, I'm not calling it a small thing, but what I'm focusing on is little events that took place that led up to what Christ did for us. Think of the crown of thorns. You ever get a rose? You ever pick raspberries and you get a thorn in your hand? That thing is tiny, but it inflicts so much pain. Now imagine the thorns that they had and they put on his head. And just that little point of how much pain it caused him. was at a Lutheran church a while ago, and back by the stuff for the telephone, they had a box, and it was around Easter time, and there was a crown of thorns. And I pick it up, and I'm looking at it, I'm like, man, and the thorns on it were like that long. I don't know if that's was truly the case. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but I'm just thinking that, just that alone, he wore that for us. Think of the hand, the holes in his hands, his side, his feet. Dave touched on it on Sunday. How many stripes did he bear for you? Each one of them stripes was for something that you did that you didn't even know you were going to do. You know, he probably wasn't recognizable. And that's to us, if we sit back and just contemplate and just think about that and what he went through and what you get to enjoy today because of what he did, we can't even comprehend it. But if you try to look at that and be appreciative for them small things, the joy of your salvation will be even much more joyous. We can't take for granted what he did for us. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. What friend would truly die for you? You probably have a military brother that would die for you. But this goes beyond that. Way beyond that. And if you're in here tonight and you don't know for sure where you're going to spend eternity when you die, it's as important to know, because the devil wants you. The devil wants you in his place, the lake of fire. And the Lord gave us a way to escape that. And he did that. He gave that to us just for believing on him and having faith. We've got to put our faith in something. We have to trust something, right? You want to trust what they say and have faith that they say we walked out of a pond. I mean, you say we're crazy for believing what we believe. But then on the other hand, you say that you believe that we walked out of a pond. Isn't that crazy in itself? And Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. God gave it to us. You can't earn it. There's nothing you can do. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Just like I said with passing out all these tracts and the people coming in, we would be boasting. And that's not what God wants. God wants everybody, he wants the glory out of it. If we can earn it, why did he die? It's as simple as that. So to us, salvation is great. It's grand. It's like a mountain. You know, you've got all these, you've got this beautiful thing that the Lord has set up for us, and we didn't have to do anything but accept them and believe it. And you know, I was thinking about this. The Lord cares so much about the small details. We see it through the Bible. What do you think our mansion's going to look like? I mean, look at when you build a house and you remodel a room and all the detail, all the things that you care about here, as far as, you know, do I put the electrical outlet with the ground prong up, or do I put it down, or do I, you know, what color should we have the light switches and the covers? Stuff like that. Does the outlet box have to be 12 inches or 16 inches off the ground or 48? Whatever. So many small things that come together, but the Lord cares so much about the details. I can't imagine what. And he's still preparing it too. And you know, look at how he laid out what the tabernacle is going to be like. When he was building the tabernacle, and all the descriptions of all the things in there, very small detail orientated. And I kind of want to just end on this, you know, with the campaign that we went on in May. There's many small things that took place, and if I was going on that campaign and I was only looking at the end at the meeting that we were going to have, and you know, we had 450 people show up, and if that's all I looked at and said, wow, man, it'd be nice if more came. But, and then I'm not really feeling, well, that kind of really wasn't that, you know, what I expected. Instead of paying attention to that, pay attention to what our task was each and every day. Think of the van. Some of us know. The van, I heard that the van was, the missionary that loaned us his van, he got that 3 weeks prior to us getting there. Now, you can't tell me the Lord was involved with that. We had a nail in the tire, or a screw. It was only a quarter inch long, but still, that's a small detail that the Lord sought provision for one of us to notice, because 2 or 3 days after that, we were heading through the desert. The Lord was watching out for us. Small things like that make something, the 450 people that came to the meeting, so much more meaningful. And if we're going through life and we're just focusing on man, I really would like to get this mortgage paid for. It's not going as fast as I want it to. And then all of a sudden somebody gives me a bunch of money and I pay it off and I'm like, okay, now what? But in the end, if I'm making those monthly payments, month after month, and I pay that thing off, that's going to mean more to me than if somebody just gave it to me. We see that with our kids, those that have raised kids. You give them something, where does it go? Broke. Right? Now they go out and they buy it themselves. They got to put gas in their own car, and they're not driving everywhere because they appreciate the small things. They're doing it themselves, they're appreciating it more. And it's, you know, that's, there's so much there to be appreciated. You know, and this is all because one person, you know, that whole campaign, and if you trace it back, if that whole campaign is the result of one person giving a gospel tract to somebody else who then had a burden and went, and now the Lord multiplied that. And because one person shared the gospel, I am where I am today by the grace of God because one person shared the gospel, and one person received it, and now it's been multiplied. My children are saved. It keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's all because the Lord has taken something that's small and is doing so much more with it. So tonight, I hope that, you know, just you can see through this that just pay attention to the little things. I know I've talked about it before. And just pay attention to the little things each day and give God the credit where it's due. And I know it's we get caught up, we get in a the rat race of life and just going from here to here to here, and we don't see it. But if you just take a step back and just think about it, think about where your actions take you each day, and just the different things, different people you come across, and just things like that. And the Lord's doing little things along the way. He's not only is He encouraging, maybe encouraging somebody, or putting you in a position where that person needed a gospel tract, but He's also encouraging you by allowing you to be an encouragement to somebody else. So tonight, I hope I hope you get what I was trying to say, and I guess we'll just end it on that. But I thank you for your time. I'll close.